Is a credit rating downgrade on tap for France?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. One of the biggest economies in Europe, France, has been given a warning by Moody's. The country's top AAA credit rating is being reviewed and may be given a negative outlook, all because of France's financial strength that has, quote, been weakened. The BBC's Hugh Schofield is with us now from Paris with the latest on that story. Hi, Hugh.
Hello.
What has been the official reaction in France?
Well, they're worried, and they've admitted that this is something they've got to keep their eyes on. And François Baroin, who's the finance minister, has effectively said that the government will take steps to make sure that it does preserve its AAA rating. And that, we're interpreting, will mean that they may well have to have more austerity, a new addition to the budget in the weeks or months ahead, if this threat begins to become more real.
What is so important, Hugh, about what Moody's had to say about France today?
Well, it wasn't a downgrading of the credit rating, but it was a warning. And, you know, as such, it's already set the alarm bells ringing. It said that there was a stable outlook at the moment, but this stable outlook might change, and that therefore the agency is going to keep France under review for the next 3 months. So it really is a kind of warning to France to make sure that in the next 3 months nothing happens to make the agency change its credit rating and mark it down. And so, you know, it is something which the government here takes very seriously, because, you know, if the credit rating changes, so of course does the cost of its debt.
The BBC's Hugh Schofield in Paris. Hugh, thank you so much.
Thank you very much to you.
Well, Research in Motion, the maker of the BlackBerry, kicks off its annual developers conference today in San Francisco. The future of the company is up in the air, so it's targeting an important community to hold on to its market share, app developers. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Turns out the crackberry is a habit the modern technophile can kick. It's been a brutal week for Research in Motion. There were those service interruptions for millions. Apple launched its latest iPhone, which has already become one of the fastest-selling gadgets in history. And for software developers, there just aren't a lot of reasons these days to build apps for the BlackBerry. Blame the iPhone.
91% of developers said that they were very interested in the iPhone.
Scott Schwartzhoff is vice president at AppCelerator. He says all those developers make the iPhone fun, productive, and entertaining. Thousands of apps could do almost anything you could imagine. With a BlackBerry, not so much.
The BlackBerry phone, which is clear down the list, 28% saying that they're very interested in the platform.
Schwartzhoff says RIM is in serious trouble, unless it can unveil some interesting new phones soon and get developers on board. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are lower right now. Europe's off an average of about 1%. The Hong Kong index lost more than 4% today, and the rest of Asia was down too. There's another strike of workers in Greece, angry about big pay and pension cuts. So far, a garbage work stoppage has trash piling up on the streets of Athens, and now journalists and railway workers are striking today. China today said its economic growth slowed a bit in the last quarter, slowed to 9.1%. To give you a little perspective, U.S. economic growth in the second quarter was 1.3%. U.S. stock markets yesterday, the week started with a big thud. The Dow fell by 247 points to end the day at 11,397.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at NovoNordisk-US.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Hey, here's news. Justin Bieber's new Christmas single is out today. Yeah, I know, it's October. His full Christmas album, Under the Mistletoe, will be out in just a couple of weeks. And as Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports, holiday albums like this make nice stocking stuffers for the music industry.
Justin Bieber wants to cozy up this holiday season. And who can blame him?
Everybody's still demanding holiday records.
David Bakula is a VP of analytics at the Nielsen Company.
You know, if you look at last year's top sellers, the number five record of the year for the entire year last year was Susan Boyle's holiday record. You know, and you're talking about a record here that came out the first week of November.
The thing with holiday music is that we still buy whole albums. We buy CDs even. Aram Sinreich is a media professor at Rutgers University.
Holiday music looks more like the music industry did back in the 1990s.
Why? Well, because a lot of these albums are sold as presents.
People prefer to get gifts that are actually material. Nobody wants to open a box and see nothing inside it and someone say, oh, well, what I got you is just a bunch of ones and zeros. Don't worry, it'll show up on your computer tomorrow.
Big sales of whole albums aren't the only reasons artists rush to belt out Jingle Bells and Oh Holy Night. Sean Ross is the VP of Music and Programming for Edison Research. He says a couple of decades ago, studios had an epiphany.
Holiday albums were a good way to sell records by artists who weren't top of mind anymore in pop culture and who didn't necessarily get a lot of radio airplay.
Think Neil Diamond, Wilson Phillips, Amy Grant, even Mariah Carey, whose modern standard, All I Want for Christmas Is You, is likely no more than a month away from your radio dial. Okay, less than a month. A lot less. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
Going to be in my head for the rest of the day now. And finally, Saturday Night Live spoofed New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg over the weekend about the Occupy Wall Street protests going on in New York. Bloomberg was played by cast member Fred Armisen. But the mayor says next time SNL does a skit involving him, he wants to play the role. Bloomberg tells the New York Post he has a Screen Actors Guild card and everything, and that he would love to negotiate with the producers over how much he would get paid. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Standardized testing, love it or hate it, it's part of the curriculum. But what happens now that teachers have skin in the game?
A bunch of students had left a number of questions blank. And then they all, on the last seven questions of the exam, had given the exact same answers. It certainly looked like someone else had maybe filled in the answers for them.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Another installment of Freakonomics Radio. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.